Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. I'm Bob Lovell. It's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. We've got a lot of football to talk about this hour, talking about IU, Purdue, Notre Dame. Later on, some high school football and the Colts. Right now, though, he's the most important man you know, the Secretary of Scores, the Minister of Information. It's Network Indiana's Josh Mullenix.
Coach, so good to be with you on a Saturday night in downtown Indianapolis, high above the circle. Coach, there was so much that happened today around the state. High school football last night. We had college football today, college basketball, the NBA. We got to get to all of it. Just across the street from where we are at Gambridge Fieldhouse, the Pacers beat the Orlando Magic 114-113 this evening. Tyrese Haliburton, 22 points and 14 assists on the night. Miles Turner, a double-double of his own, 20 points and 11 rebounds. The Blue and Gold are 9-6 on the season and tied for fourth in the Eastern Conference through 15 games. A little college basketball to get to. Just wrapped up moments ago. Valparaiso beat Incarnate Word 68-64. The Beacons were 20 of 23 from the free throw line to Incarnate Word's 7 total free throws. That's the difference in that one. We heard a little bit about the Jaguars playing Franklin College. IUPUI beat Franklin 59-45. Jaguars 25 of 58 from the field. Franklin made just 5 of their 29 three-point attempts. No Grizzlies players finished in double figures. Ball State beat Indiana South Bend 86-72. 6 different Cardinals were in double figures. Jalen Sellers, 18 points, 14 rebounds on 7 of 10 shooting to lead all Ball State scorers. Evansville, the Purple Aces, they fell to SMU 55-47. Purple Aces just 19 of 66 from the field. They're the 355th ranked offense out of 363 Division I teams so far this season, struggling to put the ball in the basket, Coach. Butler beat the Citadel 89-42, Coach. 17 of 31 from beyond the arc. That's quite the shooting night for the Bulldogs. 2 in a row after a very slow start from the three-point line to start the season. Simas Lukosius, 18 points. Jaden Taylor had 18 points as well. The Bulldogs take on Tennessee in the Bahamas next week. Elsewhere around the state, Wabash beat Maryville from Tennessee 84-74. DePaul beat Webster 79-61, and Hanover beat UW River Falls 59-56. Marion beat Taylor 87-67. Bethel beat St. Francis 79-68. Indiana Tech by 15 over Lawrence Tech, and Morningside, they beat Indiana Wesleyan 85-61. Coach, probably if not the biggest, the most emotional an intense win of the IU football season. I want you to listen to Coach Tom Allen in the locker room after the game. You can feel the intensity in his voice.
We play in the toughest league in America. You better bring it every week. You better fight to the finish. For 60 minutes!
And beyond!
For 60 minutes!
And beyond!
You could definitely see it on his face in his, you know, sprinting across the field after the game. Quite a scene in East Lansing. Indiana bringing the old brass platoon back to Bloomington. 39-31 win over Michigan State in double overtime. They were down by 17 points at halftime, Coach, and came back to win. It's their first win since September 17th. Notre Dame beat Boston College on Senior Day 45-0. Irish ran all over the Eagles. 281 yards, 7.5 yards per carry, 4 touchdowns on the ground. Purdue beat Northwestern 17-9. Aiden O'Connell, 2 touchdowns on Senior Day. Charlie Jones and Payne Durham catching passes from the sixth year Boilermaker. Elsewhere, in Division III playoff action, first round, DePaul fell to Carnegie Mellon 45-14. In Division II playoff action, UIndy fell to Pittsburgh State 35-0. Coach, we touched on it a little bit, but the Indianapolis Colts, they're taking on the Philadelphia Eagles tomorrow afternoon at Lucas Oil Stadium. Coach, it's a different beast beating the Raiders versus the 8-1 Eagles. I'm looking for Jonathan Taylor to run it a lot. That's what the Commanders did in handing the Eagles their first loss of the season. Plenty more to get to tonight, and we'll be right here with you. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Josh Mullenix.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. IU football, what a game today. Double overtime, 39-31 winners over Mississippi State from the IU Athletic Network. Sports Network, our good friend John Herrick. John, what a weekend for you. What a weekend. Basketball with a W, football with a W, basketball game tomorrow. You're living the dream, but today you saw a tremendous football game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this is great for my cardiovascular health, Bob, between the Friday night game that came down to the wire, and then this game, which was what seemed where IU was, it seemed like they were dead to rights at halftime. I mean, they scored, you know, the first touchdown of the game on a 34-yard Dexter Williams touchdown run, and then after that just could not do anything offensively, and Michigan State's got a very good quarterback in Peyton Thorne, and he started to carve them up. And the problem is, you know, one of the biggest problems is all the injuries defensively, which is why Tom Allen deserves a ton of credit for being able to find a way to get this team to get the necessary stops that they needed with no Cam Jones. He's been out, you know, for several weeks now. And Aaron Casey, I mean, that guy was battling a sickness all week, and he goes out on the defensive line, make some key tackles, put some key pressures on Peyton Thorne, and it was just enough. And really the play that I think got IU back in the game, Bob, was that 79-yard touchdown run by Sean Shivers when they were down 24-7, because that got them back within 10. And even though Michigan State scored after that, that play really kind of made them believe, okay, we can finally do something offensively. And then that insane kickoff return by Jalen Lucas from 88 yards got us back to within 10 again. And I think that's when I think that's really when it was like, all right, this is a battle. This isn't Michigan State just walking away with this game like it had been for IU opponents for the last several weeks. And really they were finally able to buck the trend. And now they've got some great momentum going into, obviously, a game that doesn't need a whole lot of introduction, the big rivalry game against Purdue this upcoming Saturday.
Well, the big plays, John, are the big thing. I mean, you talk about we use the term resiliency, which is an accurate term in terms of how teams are, and this has been a resilient bunch, and they've had every reason to kind of toss in the towel, so to speak, but the big plays were just a jolt for them.
Yeah.
Defensively. And the other part of it, think about this, though. You know, you get the big play, and then Michigan State answers the score with a score, and yet they just keep grinding out and find a way to win.
Yeah, and there were some plays that went against them several times in this game, too. Penalties. They had 7 penalties for 40 yards, a couple of defensive holding penalties. But I really tell you what, though, Bob, they really did an excellent job of they did a great job of finding a way to, you know, coming out and make sure that they didn't let those penalties dictate how things were going to go ever. Tom Allen staying consistently fired up made them, I think, made them believe, you know what, our coach believes, so we need to believe.
Right.
And that was a really important. And, you know, they also, how do you win a game where you only gain 288 yards offensively and Michigan State has 540? Well, you get the kickoff return for a touchdown. You don't commit any turnovers. And Michigan State had a key interception that, you know, IU was able to get. And that was huge that Jonathan Haynes intercepted, because that interception helped get IU more momentum. So they played a relatively clean game, too. And, you know, passing game will need to be a little bit better against Purdue next week. But overall tonight, they got to be very pleased with the way they were able to fight back and win a thrilling contest.
They're going to be thrilled to death with the win. And, you know, their postseason tournament comes up next weekend against Purdue.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's what they're doing. You know, their season, you know, it's been disappointing, but can be, I think, they can take away the sting in a lot of respects with a similar performance against the Boilers next week. And I think it'll be a great game.
It will be a great game. I mean, Purdue's had a very successful season. They're 7-4. I know they wish they would have played better today against Northwestern, but they're going to be a tough out. And also, too, you know, Tom Allen moves into a very, you know, limited history. There aren't very many IU coaches that have 30 wins, and he got his 30th career win today.
Right.
They also doubled last year's win total, so it's not great that you're 4-7. But you got to at least look at some of the positives, and those are some of the positive things right there. And James Evans has been terrific at, you know, at punting the football. He's one of the best players in the nation at that. Deshaun McCullough, one of their linebackers, is one of the best linebackers for rookies or freshmen. He's had, you know, because he's had a great year. He has four sacks. And he's been, I mean, and Aaron Casey playing the way he did with not being 100%. So many guys are stepping up, even with all the injuries. Got to cap it off with a win next week.
IU basketball tomorrow at the Gainbridge Fieldhouse against Miami. Hopefully that won't be overtime for you, John. John Herrick from the IU Sports Network. Great job, John. Always great to talk to you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Bob. You too.
My name is Josh Mullinex. This is an Indiana Sports Talk scoreboard update. Last night, the Indiana Hoosiers, they beat Xavier 81-79 at the Cintas Center. Trace Jackson Davis played like the preseason All-American that he is. 30 points on 13 of 16 shooting. Hear TJD about carrying the freshmen in their first true road game at IU.
Sometimes, especially with games like this, is the first time, it's our first road test. Some of the younger guys haven't played in this hostile environment situation, but I have. So I took the load tonight, and it's something that I'm willing to do whenever I need to.
Take the load, he did. 30 points. Xavier Johnson had 23 points. Got to the free throw line 10 different times. Elsewhere in college basketball today, Valpo beat Incarnate Word 68-64. Beacons were 20 of 23 from the free throw line. IUPUI beat Franklin 59-45. Ball State taking care of Indiana South Bend 86-72. Evansville, the Purple Aces, they fell to SMU 55-47. 19 of 46 from the field were the Purple Aces in that one. Butler, the opposite shooting performance, 89-42 over the Citadel, 55% as a team from the floor, 17 of 31 from beyond the arc. Seamus Lakosius and Jaden Taylor, 18 points apiece. Plenty of Division II, Division III, and NAIA action that we'll get to in the next update. I'll talk to you in 15 minutes. Anything you got at IND Sports Talk on Twitter, pictures, tweets, whatever you got. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Josh Mullinex.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Indiana Sports Talk brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Just ahead of some Ball State basketball, let's talk about the Irish. Notre Dame 44-0 winners over Boston College. Irish Illustrated's Dr. Lynn Clark joins me. Lynn, it's a pretty impressive win for the Irish today. Everything going their way as they overwhelm BC.
Notre Dame shutting out Boston College 44-0, but 37 of those points coming in the first half. And Notre Dame needed to run the ball. Marcus Freeman all week stressed that they needed to run the ball. They did not do that effectively against Navy last week. And on the first play from scrimmage, Logan Diggs goes 51 yards to set the tone as Notre Dame rushes for 281 yards. But senior day at Notre Dame Stadium, it was a typical South Bend weather day with snow coming in the second half. But Isaiah Foskey sets the all-time record for sacks at Notre Dame, eclipsing Justin Tuck's record. And then Michael Mayer, probably playing his last game at Notre Dame Stadium, goes over the 2,000-yard mark as a the receiver for tight ends. I think the 13th player in Notre Dame history to do that. Jack Kaiser, probable for this game, did play, had four tackles, the second leading tackler on the game, and J.D. Bertrand, who missed last week with a groin injury against Navy, leading the team with five tackles. But Notre Dame now 8-3 on the season. Bob, they'll go out west to play USC, their arch rival, with a chance to go 9-3 and maybe get that Gator Bowl bid against an SEC school. But everything going the Irish way this afternoon in South Bend.
9-3 would be a tremendous year, considering how they started this season, Lynn.
Yeah, it's not where you start, it's where you finish.
Right.
And, you know, earlier on, they couldn't get a takeaway. Bob, Benjamin Morrison, the freshman out of Arizona, with three interceptions against Emmett Moorhead, the quarterback for Boston College, who was really starting the surge and led his team to a victory over North Carolina State last week. But three interceptions. Possibly another one. J.D. Bertrand possibly had a pick six, but he couldn't haul it in. But two fumbles as well by Boston College. They turned the ball over five times. And so this was not only another confidence-building game, but Notre Dame is starting to hit on all cylinders. So a little skeptical coming out of the Navy game in the second half, but the run game is back where it used to be, that 1-2-3 punch of Logan Diggs, Chris Tyree, and Audric Estime.
Well, the SC battle, as we know, is a great one. Give me your thoughts on what this will be next week with the Trojans.
Well, right now, USC is playing their arch rival, UCLA, and it's a knockout, drag-out fight. Last time I looked at the score, UCLA was up by a touchdown. But hopefully they'll be kind of worn down. It's going to be a short preparation week with the holiday this week. And so the team that is better prepared and does not give up the football is going to be the team that walks out of the LA Coliseum with a victory. But right now, Notre Dame is very confident after that shutting out Boston College 44-0.
Well said. When do Mike Bray and the Irish?
Back on Tuesday night in the Gotham Classic, they'll take on Bowling Green. And right now, Mike's team is undefeated. They're still looking for a big guy, but they'll have Marcus Hammond back on the roster in the game against Bowling Green. But right now, they're undefeated, and they're playing old, as Mike says.
I love it. Dr. Lynn Clark, Irish Illustrated, on the call of Notre Dame's 44-0 win over Boston College. Lynn, as always, thank you so much for all you do for us. Have a great weekend.
You too, Bob.
College basketball today. Ball State beats Indiana University South Bend 86-72. From the Ball State Network, our good friend David Eha. David, good win. It's a good IUSB team. I mean, they really are. Played in the national tournament last year, highly ranked. A lot of talented guys. An impressive win for the Cardinals this afternoon.
Yeah, it was, Coach. I mean, Cardinals had six in double figures. 47 of their 86 points came from the sophomore class, which was big. But you called it about South Bend. I was really impressed with them playing without one of their better players, Dejon Barney. These guys wouldn't go away. The final margin was 14 points, but it was a six-point game with about 7 minutes to go, and they just kept battling. But monster game by sophomore Jalen Sellers, career high 18 points, 14 rebounds for the 6'4 guard.
Wow. 18 and 14? that's a month's work for some people, for heaven's sakes.
Bob, I look at the box score. I'm not sure I've ever seen this. The plus-minus, Jalen Sellers, plus 30.
Yikes.
So, I mean, definitely a difference maker. He broke his hand, so he missed about 4 weeks with that. So, really, this is really just now getting into form.
Right, right.
They've talked all preseason that he just had a heck of a summer. And, man, he played like it today. He's going to be a beast come MAC season.
So tell me about this team. They have some talented guys, as you point out. New coach, new philosophy. We all understand that. But this is a team that has a big upside, does it not?
Oh, no question about it. I mean, the biggest thing Michael Lewis did was getting, of course, Peyton Sparks, the MAC Freshman of the Year, to come back. And then Sellers and Bashir Jihad followed. Great young players. You got Jerron Coleman transferring back from Missouri.
Right.
They've got all the pieces. I think, what Coach Lewis is trying to help them take on the identity of the coach, and that starts with the toughness on the defensive end and taking care of the mm-hmm. basketball. So it's a work in progress, but, there's a lot of excitement right now in Muncie.
Well, there should be because, Michael, I have no doubt, will be successful as a player. He didn't back away from a soul. I think we all know that. And the teams he was involved with won a lot of basketball games, and that wasn't by accident.
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, they play the right way, but, they were in so many games, and I think Coach Lewis's mantra is say, okay, in those games, when you get to the 4 minute media timeout where, the Cardinals didn't end up winning those games, what are those difference makers, those plays
right
at the end of the game? And that's where the toughness, the accountability, that's what he's striving for. And, the one thing I will say, guys have bought into their roles, guys like Mickey Pearson coming off the bench. Again, to get six in double figures, it's guys sharing the basketball, playing for one another, and again, with the amount of youth, the ceiling, the upside, this is going to be a much better basketball team come January and February than you're even seeing right now.
All right. After Thanksgiving, they're taking on Vermont at Worthen Arena next Friday, the 25th. I like scheduling. This will be a good challenge for them.
Oh, it is. I mean, and actually, Bob, that is part of we're going to be in the Bahamas for a three-game stretch. So, you know, not too shabby, right? Spending the Thanksgiving in Bahamas, but they're going to start off with Vermont. It's a tournament down there, the Baja Mar Classic. You got eight good mid-major programs, teams like UNCW, Long Beach State. So there's no question. Two of the first four victories have come against a Division III and an NAIA team, so the competition is going to get much stiffer. Vermont, as you know, a perennial powerhouse in the America East Conference. So this will be a really good test. Three games in 3 days, starting Friday after Thanksgiving.
Well, it's a tough assignment, but I think they're sending the right guy for this, Dave, really.
I couldn't agree with more with you, Bob. Somebody's got to do it. May as well be me, right?
It's a horrible job, but they picked the right guy for it. Oh, David Ehoff, Ball State Network. Ball State winning 86-72 over IU South Bend, headed down to the Bahamas. Hey, I hope we're able to talk, if we can get you off the beach next weekend, hope we're able to talk about the Cardinals down in the Bahamas, okay?
Bob, I'll find a spot, a quiet spot at the lobby bar and give you a shout.
Yeah, I appreciate it. All right, Dave, thanks. Have a great weekend.
You got it.
All right. Great time of year playing some ball. Ball State with a good win, headed down to the Bahamas for a tournament. IU at Gainbridge Fieldhouse tomorrow, taking on Miami of Ohio. A lot going on. Scoreboard update coming up with the man himself, Josh Mullenix, and then we will come back and talk more basketball and football on Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk.
Alrighty, scoreboard update, Indiana Sports Talk. My name is Josh Mullenix. I know this is Indiana Sports. I know that's what we're doing here, right? But weird night in the SEC. Tennessee, number 5 in the country, down 56-31 to South Carolina. Ole Miss, number 14 in the country, down 42-12 to Arkansas. Anyways, a weird night for the SEC. The Pacers tonight at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. 4 wins in a row for the Pacers. The Blue and Gold beat the Magic 114-113. Tyrese Halliburton, 22 points, 14 assists, along with 2 steals and 3 blocks. Miles Turner, another double-double, 20 points and 11 rebounds. Blue and Gold, 9-6 on the season and tied for 4th in the Eastern Conference. College football, Notre Dame beat Boston College 44-0. Irish ran all over the Eagles, 281 yards. Logan Diggs had a touchdown. Audric Estime had 2 touchdowns. Chris Tyree had a touchdown out of his own on the ground. 4 touchdowns for the Irish in total. Benjamin Morrison, the freshman, a massive season for the cornerback. He had 3 interceptions against Boston College. Purdue beat Northwestern 17-9. Aiden O'Connell on senior day, 159 yards, 2 touchdowns. 6 years Aiden O'Connell has been a Boilermaker. Charlie Jones and Payne Durham each caught a touchdown pass on the day. Indiana beat Michigan State 39-31 in double overtime to reclaim the old brass platoon, bring it back to Bloomington. First win since September 17th for the Hoosiers. They were down 17 at halftime. In college basketball, for Network Indiana Sports, I'm Josh Mullenix.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Colts taking on Philadelphia tomorrow. Colts, as everyone knows, big win last weekend, win number 1 for Coach Jeff Saturday, and a very dramatic win. With me to talk about it, the voice of the Colts, Matt Taylor. Matt, the big win last week, to say the least, a tumultuous week, but you know, Coach Saturday and his guys were able to take care of business, so to speak, block all that out. They are professionals, and it was a fun – I'm sure from your perspective, what a great experience last weekend.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was a crazy week, topped off with a big win for this team. I mean, you just start with the fact that they needed a win to sort of get back on track and save their season, if you will, and stop a 3-game losing skid. So from that standpoint, it was big. But I just thought, I mean, I was just incredibly impressed with just, I mean, we all know about, you know, the dismissal of Frank Reich and bringing in Jeff Saturday. And I mean, he didn't really hit the ground running until Tuesday morning of last week, and then they put the game plan together. He had to figure out who was going to call plays on the offensive side of the ball. That was Parks Frazier, who had never called plays at any level, let alone the NFL. And, you know, they went out and in sort of in makeshift order, put together a game plan and beat an NFL team, you know, in 3 or 4 days preparation. So from that standpoint, I was incredibly impressed. And
right.
Listen, I know it's the Raiders, and right, they're 2-7, and they're probably not going to make the playoffs, and they're on a 3-game losing skid as well. But as I've said all week, they're an NFL team, and they've got really good football players on both sides of the ball. And the Colts, with all those changes and all the chaos around them, they went in there and they won a football game on the road in a really tough place to play. It got loud there several times in Las Vegas last week. So crazy week, and we'll see if they can put it all together against a much more difficult opponent coming up tomorrow against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, you're past the euphoria and you're past all the distractions of new coach and dismissal and all the other things, and you get a win, you feel great about yourselves, and now you come back to work and you realize you're dealing with a really good football team in the Eagles. I mean, very capable offensively, defensively. And, you know, now it's one of those situations where, as we know, in the business you're in, what have you done for me lately? That's what you're looking at tomorrow. You know, the Raider game's long over. You need to lock right. in and stop a very good team. So, you know, there's certain challenges now that the Eagles present to the Colts tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, the Eagles might be one of the best teams, if not the best team, in the NFL. I mean, they're tied for the best record in the league right now through 9 games at 8-1, only with the Minnesota Vikings. And I think they're going to be pretty PO'd coming off their first loss of the season. They felt
right.
like they kind of
right.
stubbed their toe on Monday Night Football at home, you know, in front of a national audience. They were 10.5-point favorites, and they lost to the Commanders. And maybe the Commanders laid out the blueprint for teams to beat Philadelphia, kind of like what the Colts did a couple years back, if you remember, on Sunday Night Football against the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, with Patrick Mahomes, that high-flying offense in Kansas City. You know, the Colts were the underdogs that night, but they ground-controlled Kansas City that night, just like what the Commanders did a couple of nights ago in Philadelphia. You know, they ran for over 150 yards. They had 40 minutes of time of possession and just limited the possessions for the Eagles in that game, and they were efficient on offense on their own. So I think that's what the Colts are going to have to try to duplicate in tomorrow's game at Lucas Oil Stadium. But you're talking about a Philadelphia team, Bob, that is top five in offense, total offense, top five in total defense. They don't give up a lot of big plays. They're good situationally on both sides of the ball. So this is going to be a really difficult test for the Colts, but I think they're up for it. And, you know, the Colts have the second most difficult schedule remaining in the mm-hmm. NFL with seven mm-hmm. games to go. So if they're going to get back in it, it will have meant, if they do get back in it, that is, it will have meant they beat some really good teams. And, you know, hopefully they're going to hopefully send a message to the rest of the NFL that, you know, their slow start is a fluke and it's not indicative of the type of team that they are.
I thought the matchup with the Raiders, and it's been said by plenty of people, and I'm not brand new to this discussion, is it was just kind of what people thought the Colts would look like. You rely on Jonathan Taylor, make some plays that you had to have from Matt Ryan, and manage the game and have your defense do what they do. And that's got to be their blueprint moving forward, because it's kind of how this team was set up.
No, I totally agree. And, you know, I think just – you know, visually or just aesthetically, if you will, you know, the Colts offense looked last week how I thought it was going to look like all year, and it just hasn't transpired
right.
because the offensive line just hasn't played well. It hasn't been consistent, and I don't think it's a coincidence that Matt Ryan looked as good as he did with the offensive line playing as well as mm-hmm. that group did, right? So I think those two things sort of go hand in hand there, and I think the Colts may have found something up front. I mean, I think they finally – you know, kind of fine-tuned and tweaked their offensive line to the extent where
right.
they feel really good about Bernard Raimann at left tackle and Will Fries at right guard. So we'll see if they can kind of put that together and have it be transferable from last Sunday to this Sunday, because they did dominate up front. They allowed some big holes for Jonathan Taylor to run through. I mean, he had that big 66-yard touchdown in the third quarter, kind of broke the game open. So I'm actually confident that the Colts are going to be able to run the ball against Philadelphia tomorrow because they have been gashed up front. That's sort of like the big weak link in their defense or the chink in their armor. They're a great defense,
right,
but for whatever reason, they're not stopping the run. You know, they're giving up on average over 140 rushing yards per game in their last five. So I do think it's a potentially good game tomorrow for that offensive line and Jonathan Taylor.
Matt Taylor joining us, voice of the Colts. Colts taking on the Eagles at Lucas Oil tomorrow afternoon. I think you bring up a great point, and that is this Philadelphia team. A lot is made about the Tua and the offense, and rightfully so. They're impressive, and defensively they've been solid. You don't go 8-1 by not being solid on both sides of the ball. So the Colts, if they can exploit that ground game as they did last week, I think they got a great shot.
No, without question. So they're going to need another solid performance from Jonathan Taylor. They're going to need another solid performance from Matt Ryan. But I think the defense is going to be really put to the test. This is going to be great on great. Not good on good, but great on great.
Right.
When the Eagles have the ball, because that's a top five unit, as I said. But the Colts, all of a sudden here, they have catapulted themselves to a top five defense in terms of total yards. And they're giving up about 20 points per game. And even that number, I mean, it's solid, but I think even that number is deceptive. Because think about all the short fields they've been put on because the offense is turning the ball over or, throwing a pick six. So I think that points allowed number for the Colts is really deceptive because I think they're even better than that. So what a great – think about all the great players that are going to be on the field when the Eagles have the ball, right? You're going to have Jalen Hurts and you're going to have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. And then for the Colts, DeForest Buckner and Grover Stewart, Bobby Okereke, Zaire Franklin, Stephon Gilmore. I mean, that's a Pro Bowl matchup or, you know, scenario just right there on its own with all those All-Pro players or former All-Pro players on the field at the same time. So that's going to be sort of a big game within the game coming up tomorrow. I'm just really excited to see how that plays out.
You'll hear him tomorrow on many of these same stations around the state. Matt Taylor, the voice of the Colts, and the Eagles tomorrow. Matt, thanks for the time. I appreciate it. Have fun tomorrow.
You got it, Bob. Will do. It's going to be awesome. I appreciate your time. Anytime.
Thank you. Matt Taylor. Matt Taylor. Thank you so much, Matt. Colts, Eagles. Very important game. I think... clearly, we all understand this is a different opponent, Eagles as opposed to the Raiders. Interesting thing about the game is it'll give you a better understanding, a clearer barometer, if you will, for where this Colts franchise is. I think they're, you know, obviously headed in the right direction, and it'd be great if they can get another win tomorrow. Scoreboard update coming up with Josh Mullenix. Will come back and talk Butler basketball with Mark Minner on Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk.
My name is Josh Mullenix. This is an Indiana Sports Talk scoreboard update. We just heard from Matt Taylor on tomorrow's game against the Eagles. Jeff Saturday on the sideline for the first time in front of the Indianapolis Colts fans at Lucas Oil Stadium. Here's what he said, man. He is excited.
Don't spend it all in warm-ups, right? Like, let's make sure that we, you know, keep composure and keep this thing. That'll be more for me. I get super excited for our fans and want to do our best and want to show the league how good these guys in this locker room are. But I'll definitely be excited.
Colts take on the 8-1 Eagles tomorrow afternoon. The Indiana Pacers beat the Orlando Magic 114-113. Tyrese Halliburton, 22 points and 14 assists, along with two steals and three blocks. Miles Turner rolling right along with another double-double, 20 points and 11 rebounds. Blue and gold moved to 9-6 on the season and tied for fourth in the Eastern Conference through 15 games. Plenty of college basketball action across the state this evening and and this afternoon. Valpo beat Incarnate Word 68-64. The Beacons, 20 free throws in 23 tries. IUPUI beat Franklin 59-45. Franklin just 5 of 29 from the three-point line. No Grizzlies player finished in double figures. Ball State beat Indiana South Bend 86-72. Six different Cardinals in double figures. Jalen Sellers, 18 points and 14 rebounds. SMU beat Evansville 55-47. The Purple Aces moved to 1-3. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Josh Mullinex.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk. It's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Driven, the number 2, savelives.org is their website. College basketball today, Butler 89-42 winners over the Citadel. The voice of the Bulldogs, Mark Minard, joins me. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Coach. How you doing? Long time no talk.
I'm doing great now that you called me. We talk a lot during the basketball season. I just don't understand why I don't call you during the off season. I apologize.
I miss you, Coach. I miss you.
Well,
that's the reality of the situation.
Not as much as I miss you. Seriously.
I appreciate that.
So,
I appreciate that.
Dogs kind of put up some points here. They're off to a 3-1 start. Tell me what you think about this team.
Well, it's been a fun start to the season. Obviously, gosh, since the last time we were on Indiana Sports Talk, it's a lot's changed. Obviously, the entrance of Thad Matta and a new coaching staff. A lot of the guys that were returning from this past year have stayed on. In fact, the entire team has stayed on.
Right.
And then you brought in a couple of impact transfers that have already played immediate minutes in Eric Hunter Jr. and Manny Bates, both veteran players, Manny Bates from North Carolina State, Eric Hunter Jr. from Purdue. Ali is another player that transferred in who has yet to play time within Butler. But it's been fun to watch the maturation of the guys that return back. You look at guys like Simas Lukosius, Chuck Harris, Jaden Taylor, players that have been in double figures in each game this season. And then a guy like Manny Bates, who comes in, has double-doubles in his first couple games, has 5 blocks tonight, just kind of matchup differences tonight. So it wasn't as impactful on the in the scoring column, but super impactful on the floor. And Thad has come in with this staff, and they have really pushed an up-tempo style. They have been very aggressive. I thought they defended really well. And as Nick Gardner was commenting on the broadcast today, just a true 40-minute game here today. They jumped out to a 17-0 start, kept the pedal down, and ended up with a big 89-42 victory over the Citadel this evening before they head out to the battle for Atlantis.
The battle for Atlantis, they're going to find out quickly what they're all about when they play Tennessee.
You don't get any cupcakes in this one. You got Tennessee first, and you got BYU or USC, and then you got, look at the other side of the bracket, you got Kansas, North Carolina State, you got Wisconsin, Dayton. So you got a really tough field down there.
Yeah, you really do. And let's remember, Thad Matta is one of those elite-level coaches. I think for those who didn't already know it, you're talking about somebody who has played for national championships. His pedigree is impeccable, not to mention the fact, and you know this better than I, he's just a great guy. He's a great guy to be around, and you want to perform for him, which is, I think, very important for this group.
It's been fantastic to be around him, and obviously it's always a challenge anytime this is a difficult business, and so anytime that there's transition on that, it's always challenging in all directions. But Thad Matta's a Butler guy, right? A graduate assistant coach, a head coach. He knows the program. His kids went to Butler. He's been around, and so he's since he left Ohio State, he's been around campus too. He's been watching practices. He's very familiar with the program, and I'd heard it because I'd talked to Nick for years who played for him, but just how impactful of a coach he was and how much of a, beyond the basketball side of it, just how great of a person he is, right? And so he's somebody who engenders a lot of confidence in his players, and he gets you to achieve a lot. And so you've seen that in the offseason this year. It's been a blast to be around him, and then also just on the floor with he and the staff he's assembled. And I think these players have really responded, and they're shorthanded right now. There's been a handful of injuries, and so the front court depth has been challenged, but these guys have responded really well. Had a tough setback at Penn State, and just the shot selection or the shots didn't fall, on Monday in out at University Park. But, you know, I think you look at the other three games, and they've been decisive victories for the Bulldogs between New Orleans, St. Francis, and the Citadel tonight.
Can you hang on through this short break?
Absolutely, Coach. Absolutely.
Yeah, for me, yeah. I mean, you can. Yeah,
for you.
For you.
Are you kidding me? I'd even give you a putt.
Yeah. All right, Mark Minner and I'll come back, talk some more Butler basketball and Indiana Sports Talk. Welcome back, everyone. Glad you could join us on Indiana Sports Talk. It's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. We're rejoined by Mark Minner, the voice of the Butler Bulldogs. Bulldogs with a very impressive win today over the Citadel, 89-42. Headed down to the Bahamas to be in the battle for Atlantis. They'll take on Tennessee on Wednesday at 7:30. All right, you were mentioning shorthanded on personnel with the Dogs. With a little injury bug going around?
Yeah, they've got, especially in the front court right now, you've got John Michael Malloy battling a foot injury. You've got Jalen Thomas, who had essentially a blood clot in his lung that he's not been able to play. Yikes. So the transfer from Georgia State, big right. for the Bulldog, Ali, had a concussion protocol that he's been working through. And so you've been just kind of battling these different injuries. Miles Wilmoth with an arm injury as well. So it's led to increased minutes, certainly for the core group of players, but it's also, honestly, Coach, led increased opportunity. People like Pierce Thomas, a sure. Brownsburg native, 21 minutes today. Coach, I have to describe something if you didn't get a chance to see this. Pierce, we know, has his incredible athleticism, was a track and field star, was a basketball star at Brownsburg. 9 points today, 4-4 at the line, but he went baseline. He got a feed. He was kind of in the short corner, started moving toward the baseline, got a feed from Chuck Harris. Most people would go up through contact and finish with a big mm-hmm. dunk. Pierce decided mm-hmm. to go in and reverse the dunk over the top. And, you know, it's just like right. everybody in England was like, what just happened? Right. So you start to see right. not only the right. unique nature of his offensive and athletic ability, but also defensively, the impact that he, Miles Tate, DJ Hughes have made on the floor off the bench. So it's been fun to watch those guys get extra opportunities. And then Simas Lukosius, Manny Bates, Eric Hunter, Chuck Harris, and Jaden Taylor, the starters out there, all playing big time minutes and big time roles for the team right now. But it's a big question, because in Bahamas, you have 3 games in 3 days, right? So you don't have right. a lot of time to rest, and it's asking a lot of your players, especially against the caliber of competition that you got down there.
All right, my suggestion is sunblock. Take a lot with you, okay?
Talk to me right now. What do I need to know? What do I need to make sure that I'm – what's my bucket list down there as a broadcaster?
I have no idea. I've never been to the Bahamas. but here's how bad I am. My daughter and son-in-law are investors in a boutique hotel in the Bahamas, and we haven't been down there yet. And so I got to get that changed. But
Coach, that doesn't
it'll be
speak
fun.
To your intelligence very much. You got
well,
you, got a hook up down
there. You know,
come
no, they've both blasted me, and there are reasons. There are reasons why, but obviously I can't talk about them on the air. But I want you to have a good time. Call me if you can, and it's great to catch up with you. Pick up your phone and call me. I think Brad kind of intimated to you. Give me a call before you leave town, and let's catch up, okay?
I love it. I love it. Coach, great to speak with you again.
Thanks,
hope you're doing
Mark.
Well, and we'll talk soon.
Okay. Thanks very much. Butler over the Citadel today, headed down to the Bahamas to play in the battle for Atlantis. It's a pretty good hour. Coming up, top of the hour scoreboard update with the man himself, Josh Mullenix, and then we're going to continue to talk some more football and basketball. This is Indiana Sports Talk.